Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're back here during this very wonderful but busy time of the year. Of course, we've got your listener questions with Pam and Ricky joining me. Today, we have questions about the perfect restaurant for multiple couples celebrating milestone anniversaries, but it's also their first time to Walt Disney World. They are Disneyland veterans. We also have a question about when to visit Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Do you go on your first Magic Kingdom day or your second? Also a situation of basically moving to Florida for a year and enjoying everything Central Florida has to offer. Many more other questions on today's show. But don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Please book your next trip with the great folks at themagicforless.com. They are professional, passionate travel agents, and they're going to take great care of you from the time you start to think about your trip all the way until the time wheels are down back home. So just drop by their website, themagicforless.com, fill out that quote form, and mention the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I are going to be working together on that next trip. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, as you do your holiday shopping this crazy time of the year, if you're on Amazon, please take that one extra click. Just go through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's a free way to support the show, and even the small purchases do help us out a lot. So again, please bookmark it and use it often. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out again to our patrons. You guys are helping us so very much get through this time where travel has slowed down just a bit. I thank you so very much. If you'd like some extra content like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1816 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are doing well in this busy time of the year. Christmas will be upon us here in just about a week from this point. And happy Hanukkah to all those celebrating, as you're in the middle of the celebration there. And we love that. So whatever you're celebrating this year, hope you're taking the time to enjoy time with friends and family. And we're so glad to be a part of your day here today as we answer your listener questions about all kinds of Disney topics. So joining me today, you can catch her over at themouseforless.com, but you will not catch her on eBay. Apparently she's been banned. We have Ricky. Ricky, stay away from eBay. Quit it.
Apparently I have been banned off of eBay, and I can't figure out why.
That could be like a great 80s retro song. Banned from eBay.
I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. I didn't do anything wrong, so I'm so confused.
That's what they all say. Just remember, if you see at Ricky Nibs the seller, do not buy. Do not buy. Buyer beware.
I promise I'm not selling anything. I'm trying to buy something. So, yeah, that's the part that sucks. I'm trying to buy something.
You are not right. That's so funny. Nope. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And Pam, we had a conversation before we started recording about some awesome thin little patty hamburgers, and then I put it all together. You're a Pittsburgher who's great with hamburgers. That's a pretty awesome combination. Happy Wednesday.
Well, I don't really cook them, so it's Steve. This is in Steve's repertoire of things he can cook. It consists of toast, pancakes, eggs. He can do an over easy egg really well. He can do a scrambled egg well. He can actually do an omelet pretty well too. Oh. I know, right? And now the real thin burgers. So this rounds out the thing that Steve... Oh, and he's good on the grill. Like a steak on the grill, he's good. Stuff like that. So
I've heard that, and I don't have one. It's out of my price range for something that we only use 4 or 5 times a year, like our barbecue pit. But there's a Traeger barbecue grill. Yeah. I think that might be right up Steve's alley. I'm just saying, it's before the holidays. I've only heard good things about this thing called the Traeger. It's got like a little...
pellets. My dad has one.
People rave about these things on these shows I listen to, these podcasts.
So it's funny, Steve. So a while back, I bought him the regular propane grill, the gas grill. I forget which one. They're the ones that everyone really likes. Weber grill. Yeah. He loves that. He has a like smoke thingy do. We have a fire pit. We have one of those heating things that, like, is out. I mean, I do not need one more thing to fit on the deck. I'm just saying, like, we have a big deck and I'm running out of room. Like, there are two levels to it, like, just a little bit in between, but still, I'm like, yeah, we can't have anything else up on the deck. Oh, he also wants one of those green egg.
Yeah,
things.
The big green egg. Yeah, I've heard of that too.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah, yes. So please, I'm not even going to tell him that. Hopefully he won't listen to this episode.
Well, that's it. You know, you could start your own outdoor dining may still be big in the spring. You could have like a little backyard outdoor dining smoke shack or something, you know.
Yeah, if cruises don't start soon, I'm probably going to have to start looking for some other kind of job. So.
We're all looking for that side hustle. You know, you need a Traeger. It's a business investment.
Exactly.
All right, hey, before we get into today's listener questions, we have some Ask Them Live here in the chat as well, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. We have an announcement. Of course, we were down at Give Kids the World here about 10 days ago at this point. Thanks again to everybody who was a part of the show, who donated to us items, monetary donations to the village. It was amazing. Over $26,000 raised because of your generosity. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. And we had a couple of donation levels or combos. Ricky, you can explain it because I just edited the show for this coming Monday, and it's that hour two where the ornaments were coming like it was like QVC, and we're trying to keep up with all this stuff coming in, coming out. We had the Belle and the Beast and like all the big Beauty and the Beast character. It was just nuts. I was listening to it today. So, but one of the things we had, you could get into a raffle for some big Disney gift cards. So we're going to announce that, but how did this all go down and like, how did these folks win these cards?
Yeah. So if you made a donation of $100 or more, you were put into the raffle to get a $125 gift card for Disney, which is pretty awesome. And then if you made a donation of like $50 to $99, you got a put in the raffle for a $75 gift card, which is also pretty awesome. So
yeah. Should we give these suckers away? Because we know who they probably know who they are because I got an email right away.
They definitely know who they are. Yes. At this point, yeah.
In perfect Be Our Guest podcast fashion, we record on Mondays. I got the email Monday night.
Correct.
Who won these? Like, oh, I got to sit on this for a whole week. But the $75 Disney gift card is going to Christina B., who's down in Texas. She's
Yay!
Actually one of my great guests at the Magic for Less. I love that we get to work together on her trips. So she has $75 going her way right in time for the holidays. So, you know, well, use that for gifts on like Shop Disney or save it for a trip. You know, use it on your next trip. And then our $125 Disney gift card goes to listener James, who I don't know where James is from, but he knows because he got the email. So James and Christina and everybody, thank you so much for your support of Give Kids the World. Enjoy those Disney gift cards. And again, thank you to Give Kids the World. You know, everybody down there for having us. Magical Wishes for Kids, the Magic for Less Travel for sponsoring it all. We had a great time. And I'm missing my Christmas lights. I still, you know, I keep wearing these because if you're watching the video, I have the Christmas lights they gave to us. And look at this. This is my last holdout. If you're watching this, why you got to watch a video? I still have my Christmas light cookie. Now it is broken. The socket is busted off, but it'll still taste fine. So
there you go.
I eat it before Christmas when I get a little desperate. Okay.
All right.
First question of the day. This one came in 5 days ago, and I've been waiting for 5 days to answer this, actually to ask you guys this question. This is so weird. Okay. Jeff from Florida writes, if you could steal one thing from the entire property of Walt Disney World, what would it be?
Oh, no, not that. Sorry.
We are assuming you have all the tools to unhook and detach the item. You have to be able to carry it by yourself to your car. You will not be caught. Steve Hood is not going to chase you, and his new puppy will not rip you apart. So, Mike, you cannot say the Millennium Falcon to put in your backyard. You couldn't carry it or put it in your car. My wife wants one of the Mickey head-shaped pumpkins that hang from the light poles on Main Street at Halloween. Since Ricky will probably cheat, I will give you two for myself. I want the scrawny dog from the Haunted Mansion. The other is the Figment audio animatronic from Journey into Your Imagination. Now, I wonder if he wants the Christmas sweater one, right? I mean, you may as well. If you're going to go big, you know, go big.
Yeah.
What item would you commit a felony for? Jeff, that's the weirdest question. But hey, you know, we take them. We're here to keep, you know, hopefully we can share a laugh and, you know, maybe 7 to 10 years in the Florida pen together. So who knows? All right, Ricky, what you taking? I think I told this years ago. One time during Hurricane Charlie, I brought home a big pine cone, and I felt like I was being a thief. But it was like this gigantic pine cone that got blown from somewhere during the hurricane. The next morning, it was on my balcony. You know, well, Pop Century, it's not balcony. Is that a balcony? It's like a value balcony.
It's
a huge, like, communal balcony slash a walkway. But it was up there on the top floor, so I'm like, that's special. I'm taking it home, put it in my suitcase. And I think I still have it somewhere. I don't know. But anyway, that's as felonious as I've been at Walt Disney World. But if you could, Ricky, what are you taking?
Oh, man. So not Buzzy, because, you know, obviously he's already been stolen. I mean, allegedly stolen or not. Okay, so...
Is that Buzzy behind you?
Yeah, that's Buzzy behind you. Okay, no, I thought, yeah. Me and that basketball player, we both have a thing for Buzzy, apparently. No. So I am going to... You know, Figment was one of the things that I was thinking about, to be perfectly honest. But... I think, okay, so they said that I can, you know, I have to carry it out myself, but right. I can bring a dolly in.
No, so... I don't know if you can bring a dolly. Okay, I guess. Who knows? We're not really doing this. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to go with, you know what? I won't need a dolly for this. I'm going to go with Madame Leota. I'm going to borrow.
Borrow for eternity.
Yeah. For eternity. Madame Leota. I think that would be really cool. So.
See,
I gotta have the technology to make her work too. So that's true. Coming with me.
See, I'd be a little skeptical of taking anything from the Haunted Mansion. That's just bad mojo, right? I mean, like, that thing would be like, dude, I stole it and it's from the other world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm directly going on a path that I'm not going up as soon as I die.
Exactly.
Be like the movie Ghost when those people die and all those things come out of the ground. You'd be done. Madame Leona would be doing you. But hey, you do you.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Pam. Weirdest question ever. What you taking?
So I wanted, and I thought about this because this is something I've actually looked for at different times, and then I, you know, get off that kick. I want something with Walt's signature on it. So like, I would be willing to take like anything that had Walt's signature on it. It doesn't even have to be framed or looking nice or anything. I'd bring it home and have like the local frame shop like frame it up nicely and stuff like that. But I just think that would be so cool. It's stuff like that I think is just, I don't know, like so meaningful to have that actual thing. So
Pam wins.
You know, actually I have something that I really, really, really want, and I don't think Disney would have a use for it. Okay, and I think that if I had the right connection, I could get this, and I don't even think I'd have to steal it. I don't know. I'd have to really like pull some strings, you know, because we know some people. Anyway, and by the way, Joanne down in Florida, she wants the Cinderella castle from Erebus. Yeah, she's going big.
That's smart. You're
going to go to jail.
That's a really good one to take. Yeah.
That's pricey.
Yeah, don't steal a candy bar. If you're going to go to jail, you know, steal something valuable.
Yes.
So here's the thing. I've taken pictures of this thing many times. I want this thing so bad. I've even talked to Matt Parrish about it, and he's found me one that is so close to what it is, and it was broken, but I almost bought it. It's the terrarium that is in Spaceship Earth in the moon landing scene on your left.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. It's like a floor-standing terrarium, and it's so like late 60s. And like I would love to have that.
Yeah. I agreed. So I have so many pictures of this. And the reason why is my stepdad is a psychologist. So when I met him, which was in the 80s, he had a private practice and he had one of these in the lobby, room of this. And he also had that big light, like the huge light that's like curved. Oh. And has like that thing in it. So we roll up on that scene every time. Like when my mom's in Walt Disney World, she'll send me a picture of the scene. When I'm in Walt Disney World, I'll send her a picture of the scene because we're like, oh my gosh, it's his office. Like he had these things. So,
with Walter Cronkite narrating all the welcome so to the true. Office.
So true.
Yeah,
I
want that thing so bad. And Matt Parrish, because I've talked to him about this. I'm like, dude. Because they're so, I can't believe that I can't find one like on, you know, anywhere like that. I want that one that's like it's a sphere on like a pedestal, and it's hard to find. But he did find me one. It was cracked. It was like $170 for like a cracked one. I was like, God, if I spend that, my wife will kill me. I mean, like because it was kind of yellow and stuff. But yeah, I want that thing so bad. So when they were going to do the refurb, I'm like, I got to talk to somebody because they're going to just chuck that thing. And I'd like, that would be like, I would have that just dead in the center of my living room. Like, I wouldn't even have it like around the edge. You'd be like, you have to walk around the sucker. It's, and I don't know why, but I love that thing. I do. I don't know. So okay, we're good there. I had a follow up on that. I can't remember what it was. I got distracted. Okay, let's get to the next question. It is from Jasenia Johnson in our live chat. She says, "Hey, BOGP crew, I emailed the question, but I thought I'd ask here. This is how you get to the top of the line. We're going on a big family trip in November of 2021. It'll be our first time to the world. My husband and I are Disneyland annual pass holders, but are new to Walt Disney World. We're celebrating our 5th anniversary, my parents' 25th, and my in-laws' 40th. And you'll almost be celebrating Walt Disney World's 50th. There's a lot of anniversaries happening. We wanted to know where you would suggest for a celebratory dinner. My parents are foodies and don't love most park food, so we're thinking somewhere in Disney Springs, possibly. Ooh. Budget won't be an issue, and wine is a must. Shout out to Robbie Bottoms, who listens out in California. All right, so, who I met one time on a Skyliner bucket. Random. I'm getting on a Skyliner bucket. Mike Rollman! Like, dude, I don't even know who you are, but hey, yes, it is. I'm Mike Rollman. But yeah, it was great. Okay, so the milestone anniversaries. I know what Pam's going to say. California girl. I mean, because it sounds like, I mean, this sounds perfect, actually, for like first timers at Walt Disney World that like wine, that like foodies. I mean, I haven't even been there, and I got to say California girl, right, Pam? I mean, is that where you're going?
No, it's true. So California Grill actually has a really great wine list, and they sell it by the bottle and the glass. They have an extensive list. So that's always a great place for someone who enjoys wine. I think the other thing that makes California Grill so great is whether there are fireworks or not, you get to sit in that dining room that overlooks the Magic Kingdom. And the Magic Kingdom looks fantastic at night. It just does. You get to see, Tomorrowland, I think, sort of stands out because you can see Space Mountain there and all the neon that's in Tomorrowland, but other parts of it do as well. So that's a great location. I think another great location, especially for wine lovers, is Gico, and hopefully it will be available again soon. I am missing that restaurant so much. It has a great wine list, so much of it from South Africa. So if you're partial to reds, which is a region of the world where there's some great red wines produced, then that's a great place to go. Another place that is open right now is, of course, Narcoossee's, and they have great options as well. And again, you get that Magic Kingdom view. It's not quite like the California Grill because it's sort of across the water and you can really only see sort of the top of Cinderella's castle and some other things, but that's a great choice as well.
Right. And Diane, she agrees with California Grill here in the live chat. She says Yachtsman's another good choice. But the reason I think California Grill is like Alfred said Victoria and Albert's, that's kind of the ultimate dining experience. But I think for somebody that's going to Walt Disney World for the very first time and you're Disneyland, you know, you're there, you're annual pass holder, so you're there a lot. I think what's cool, because I've been up there, I just haven't had a dinner there. I've been for events. And the thing is, when you're at the top of California Grill, you get the scope of Walt Disney World. I mean, you can see out into Epcot. You know, you can see, if you look the other way, you know, out over Bay Lake, and you can see Seven Seas Lagoon. I mean, you know, just going out on the balcony. I mean, it's just such a, you get the scope of Walt Disney World, which, you know, that's the difference between Disneyland and Walt Disney World. You get to see how just huge and enormous the place is. You're looking right into Magic Kingdom. So thoughts, Ricky, anything else for these, you know, these folks really wanting to have a nice dinner for the anniversaries?
I mean, while you have officially named the correct answer, I feel like there's a couple other options. So Topolino's is obviously one of the my favorite places. I think that's got really cool views and things like that. So that's an option. The other thing that really got me is the foodie part. And they were talking about Disney Springs, possibly. So I want to throw out a spot that I know I haven't been to yet, but I know, like, the foodies that I know, they really, really like this place. And it's Haleo, which I, again, have heard just fantastic things about this place. They have a really good, I think, the really good wine list there as well. So I think that would be a really good option to consider.
Sounds good. All right. And have a happy trip. And can't wait to hear about it when you get back. Mm-hmm. All right, Mary Rose has a question for us, and Matt down in up in Webster, New York, the 298 miles from Pam, 824 for me. 981 from Ricky and 1,245 from Walt Disney World. Excuse me. Hey, BOGP team. So in August of 2021, my husband and I, with my sister-in-law, are surprising our niece with her first trip to Walt Disney World. We're all sworn to secrecy. Shh, don't tell.
Got it.
She is the girliest of girls and super loves all the Disney princesses. And there were lots of all caps there. So in our 6-day stay, we want to surprise her again with a trip to the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique to get all princess-fied. And again, we're hoping by this, everything's back to normal. We know what to do. We know what to do Magic Kingdom the first day for her. But do we include Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique that first day as well? Or would you suggest waiting for the second Magic Kingdom day? This will be our first trip with a kid. So we don't want to overwhelm her too fast. But we also want to make it as magical as possible. Love listening to the podcast every week. Sincerely, Mary Rose and Matt. Interesting question. Okay. Pam, what do you, I'll save mine for last. What would you do in this situation?
I think I absolutely understand wanting to do Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I think the first day it may be a lot to pack into that day. And I totally understand what you're going for. And I do suggest actually doing it toward the beginning of the trip, because it will last a few days and then you sort of have that, you know, that kind of princified look for a short period of time of the trip. So that's why I think it's good to have that sort of toward the beginning. But I think just with it being the first day, you might want to consider perhaps not that. So I would just pick a different day.
Okay. Ricky?
Do Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique the first day or do it a different day, right?
That's well, they're going to go to the Magic Kingdom two of the days during the trip. Did they
say when the second day for the Magic Kingdom will be?
No, they just said they're going to be there 6 days in the parks going to Magic Kingdom twice.
Okay. Yeah, I say don't do it the first day. I agree with Pam. I say do it the second Magic Kingdom day. Yeah.
I do too. And here's the thing. Like, but you can't tell her, right? You cannot tell her like until like it's going to happen. So don't tell her that on the first day at the Magic Kingdom, she's going to do Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique on, like, you know, 3 days from now. Because then it's like, oh, I want to do it now. Like, you know, just take her. Everything's new, right? So go to the Magic Kingdom, ride the rides, meet the princesses, eat the food, snacks, all that. You know, just have your perfect Magic Kingdom day. Then when you go back the second time, this is the day that you want to really focus on pictures. Like, I remember doing this with Mallory. Like, because they look so dang cute when they come out of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and you've paid a fortune for them to look that cute. So you don't want to go ride in Splash Mountain immediately, right? You want to go meet Cinderella. You want to go meet Elsa or whoever you got, Tinkerbell. You know, that is all the pictures because they'll never look cuter. So I would do it the second day, but don't tell them until they get there. All right. And also, happy birthday to Ashlyn. She's 2 years old. God, those two girls down there in Florida.
What is up with that? I don't know what's happening. Holy cow. Yes.
I do not know what's happening. All right. So I can't remember if we answered this question before. If we did, I forgot to delete it. But it's a question because I think we might have. So we'll take it. I just want to make sure we got to it. Can you talk about any outdoor table service dining options in the four parks that you're aware of? I think we talked about that, right? Didn't we hit that one about the four parks outdoor dining? Maybe not. Anyway, she says, okay, this is from Sarah. She says, at Disney Springs, I'm trying to choose between the Boathouse, City Works, and Homecoming for outdoor dining options. I was hoping you could discuss that as well on the next show. The goal is to avoid Disney Springs crowds in the evenings and weekends, weekend day. So I'm looking at a weekday early afternoon time, and her trip is very soon. The show's great. Really enjoy it, Sarah. All right. So let's talk about that first, because it's a little bit more narrow. Boathouse, City Works, and Homecoming outdoor dining. Is one any better than the other? Easier to get to?
Oh, as far as views, I think Boathouse. Right. Would be the best one. So, yeah.
I would say the same. And yeah. It just depends on what kind of food you're looking for. Pam, City Works, they have, because I haven't done City Works yet. I mean, they have a lot of outdoor dining, just a little. I can't remember seeing it.
There isn't a lot of outdoor dining. There's some, but they do sort of open up. They have these like big windows and stuff that you can sort of sit near that they do open up sometimes. They have good food and it's like sort of, I don't know. I hate to call it standard food because it's actually so much more than standard food. It's sort of like things you're familiar with, but they sort of put a new twist on it. So, and I really like it. Everything that we've had there has been good. We've been happy with it. It's actually a location that is sort of one of my go-tos that we've been going to every time, because you can typically find a spot there to dine at. So that's a good spot to hit. But I think the Boathouse has a much larger outdoor eating area, and you don't always need reservations to eat in that outdoor space. So consider that as well.
And in the four theme parks, I would say that your best bet for outdoor dining is obviously Epcot for options, right? Because you could eat like at Spice Road Table, which is reopened under Disney's operation at this point. You could go up to Japan, have the outdoor dining there, which is very good for counter service. I'm trying to think. The Cantina de San Angel counter service outside. What else do we have? It's outside at Epcot. Anything else?
No? Is there a little bit of dining outside of Rose and Crown?
Yes.
There
yes,
is.
Yes, 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 yes.
There.
I think, okay, so yeah. I think that might be it. What about Magic Kingdom? Outdoor dining. So if they have that little Tomorrowland Terrace open, that's semi-outside.
Yes, and it is open. Like, it is opening. If it hasn't opened yet, it is opening soon. I don't remember exactly when it reopened, but...
Sidetrack on that. How about Crystal Palace having barbecue, like down-home food, like all of a sudden? Like, I mean, is right? that a 180 or what? Like, that's more my style. I was like, heck yeah, we could watch some SEC football in there and have some ribs in Crystal Palace. What's up? That's so weird.
I know. It is. They've totally changed it, but it looks like a good menu.
It does. I mean, I'm all about it. Yeah, I'm like, heck yeah. I don't know who the chef became, because it wasn't the old chef, because that is weird. But yeah, I'll take it. I'm trying to think outdoor dining around the Magic Kingdom. Pecos Bills has a little outside, so does Cosmic Rays. Pinocchio's doesn't have any, does it? I'm
trying to think. Yeah, it has
like a couple. Couple. You'd have to fight for that.
Yeah. You would.
Studios, you got Backlot Express. That's kind of a nice place to sit and eat. Brown Derby Lounge outside. Rosie's on Sunset.
I don't know the Brown Derby Lounge is open right now.
Jeez. Rosie's, though, has outdoor seating. That area down on Sunset to the left as you're going towards Tower. I know we're missing some obvious ones. Setuli Canteen over at Animal Kingdom, outside. Yak and Yeti, if it's open, outside. Counter service. Nomad Lounge. This is doing this right off the top of my head, so you got options.
Yes, definitely.
Regal Eagle. Yeah, that's a good option. Yes. Is Regal Eagle and like Crystal Palace doing like a mashup?
It seems like it.
Right?
Regal Eagle Palace. That's funny. It's so true. It's like, well, we're out of garlic toast because Ricky ordered it.
Because I ate it all.
But
yeah, exactly.
We have lots of ribs, so we're going to serve ribs. Anyway, and the commissary over at the studios.
I really am curious to try the new Crystal Palace menu, though. Not gonna lie.
Me too. But I bet you cost. What's the cost? Is it what it used to cost? Is it still as expensive?
No, I think it's a little cheaper because they don't have the characters. Just a little, though. Not.
I will trade the characters for cheaper dining in the Crystal
exactly.
Palace.
But I think that's the two of us. You know, not a lot of people would do that. So Pam would not. I know that for sure. She'd be like, "No, bring on the characters. It's the easiest way to meet them."
When I dine, I try to avoid poo. I'm just saying. So
yeah, I mean, I don't blame
him. It's hard though. He's all around the Magic. He's all around.
Exactly.
There, and then he's over in Canada and
I'd say in
UK. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're just walking through World Showcase, and all of a sudden you encounter poo. It's just,
exactly.
We're not even talking about food and wine. All right. Yep, we're 12. Kelsey's got a question. Hey, Mike, this is Kelsey from Boise, Idaho, 2,608 miles from Disney and home of the Blue Turf. By the way, I just added that in for Boise State. I used your podcast to plan a Disney trip for my whole family last year. We had 7 adults and 9 kids. Holy cow. Stayed in Grand Estino and had an amazing time. We had the Disney Deluxe Dining Plan and ate like kings. We did character dining every day and still had tons of credits left over, bringing home Mickey-shaped Rice Krispie treats. I've been there. I brought home so many when I was on the dining plan 1 year. And I brought home Inman's donuts. Those were one snack for a box of donuts. Great value back in the day. We're considering homeschooling our kids starting next September so we can, quote, move to Orlando for a year. Excuse me. We would hit 15 national parks on our drive to and from Florida and spend a lot of our free time there at the parks, both Disney and Universal. I'm looking at purchasing annual passes. The Florida resident pass would save so much money. I'd probably buy the silver pass for my family, but a gold pass for me so that we could take advantage of Photo Pass. We will keep our home in Idaho, so we won't technically be residents, but with how much time we would spend there, I would feel ethical buying a Florida resident pass. Correct me if I shouldn't. Any suggestions on how to make this happen? Utility bills or bank statements seem like the most likely way. If we Airbnb, though, we won't have utilities. Any ideas you have would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Kelsey. You know, this is really an interesting question, because if 2020 has taught us anything, it's kind of the flexibility and mobility we have with our children's schooling. And I think that affords us, opportunities to go down to Walt Disney World like this year, you know, with remote learning. I know Scott had Emily down there doing her schoolwork. She took her clarinet and she's jamming. She had to order reeds to the Riviera because she forgot her reed. I mean, but it's like, it's such a strange year that, hey, if we've learned anything in 2020, seize the day, go for things like this. You know, I mean, what's going to hurt? But I don't, Pam, do you know like how this would work if you don't own a house? I mean, you're trying to take advantage of the Florida deals because the residents, obviously the reason you can get that is because you're supplementing Disney by paying taxes, right, as a resident.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's for property owners, and right, that's where right. The tax implication comes in. That's why they would ask that you have an actual ID that shows that you are a Florida resident, and would need to be able to show the corresponding ID and whatever there. So not really, temporary housing doesn't really qualify you to be a Florida resident at that point. I get what you're going for, but it's just not one of the things that's available. You do need to have something that proves that you actually do live there and you, you know, have some kind of, I don't know what it's not just home ownership. Like if you own, you know, if you had an apartment or were running something there, but you have to have utilities in your name. So.
Right. And yeah. Like if you're thinking about, here's what I thought about this when I first read it, is that, you know, they're going to visit 15 national parks. They're going to be down there for a year. The difference in kind of the overall budget for the year is not going to be that much greater than just buying regular out of state annual passes. Now, of course you will get better deals, the Florida resident rate, but I think you're talking like your budget for the year, probably like 0.25% difference, you know, overall, I would guess, for what you're
saying. Yeah, and the annual pass is a great deal still for whoever. I mean, if you're going to be there, then it's a great deal once you start hitting, you know, 14, 15 days in the park. You're still going to be saving a ton of money off of what you would pay by buying, you know, passes day after day after day like that. So you're definitely going to still be saving money for sure by buying any kind of annual pass. And hopefully they'll still be available next
That's
year.
That's right. By September. Gosh, let's hope. Okay, so Natalie's got a question. What's your favorite two-credit restaurant and which is your least favorite? This off the top of your head, Ricky, which ones? Favorite signature, as Disney calls it, signature dining, and least favorite.
My favorite is Tiffin's. I've had just fantastic Fancy. Meals there. I think it's really, really good. That's the one that like first popped into my head. I don't know that I've had like a bad two table service credit meal. Really, I mean, they've all been outstanding, to be perfectly honest, and they should be if they're two tables
they should
credits.
Be exactly.
So
yeah,
I mean, right. You know, that my second choice, which because I'm cheating and that's what I'm known for, is Yachtsman. That's just amazing as well. So yeah, those are my two, like one in a park and one not in a park.
I haven't been to either one of those.
Yeah, they're good.
Well, Tiffin's, because I don't want to have to eat fried octopus or whatever it is.
Dude, that's where I tried fried octopus. It's not that bad.
I can't get that out of my head.
I liked it.
Do they also serve fish that look at you?
Yeah,
like,
that's the one.
Like they were just like swimming around in a tank and all of a sudden they're like,
yeah,
they're on your plate. Like
that's the one.
Oh my God, I can't do that. I can't do an octopus and a fish.
I can't say that I've gotten the fish. I've gotten other things that are not the fish that look at you, so...
And
you know?
I like seafood. I don't know. Like I like Long John Silver's fish. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't need all the parts. I just need the full
That's
end.
A real fish, but that's fine.
It tastes good. Pam, what about you? What's your favorite go-to signature and one that maybe's not on the top of your list?
I'm still laughing at the things looking at you.
Oh, by the way, Natalie, who asked the question, she said she got the fish. So she's probably
there
like,
you
you're
go.
An idiot.
See, yeah. I like it. There you go. Yes.
And I really enjoy flying fish. It's actually something that, you know, someplace. I'm dying for it to reopen just because I think it's such an outstanding restaurant. I love the decor since they updated it. So that one is over at the Boardwalk, of course. You can see it there. And I also really enjoy, gosh, I do like them all. Like Ricky, I haven't had a bad meal there, but I've mentioned Gico earlier and I'll mention it again. I really enjoyed Gico as well.
I really did like Gico, but here's the deal. Okay, my favorite, it's not around anymore. The luau.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
I love the luau with the Polynesian. I know people are going to come after me because I don't know why people hate the luau. Like they hate on it, but dude, that's like ribs and all that good food. So, yeah, you got the flame guy.
Why don't you just go to Crystal Palace now and you're fine?
Because they don't have the guy twirling the fire. I hope not in that glass building. That would not end well. But I'm just saying, like, you got the luau dancers. You have the flame guy, you know, doing death-defying tricks in front of you. You have the volcanic cake that comes out. Yeah. Looks like a little volcano. Oh, it's perfect. I know people, and I don't know why people hate it so much. Like, I mean, people hate the luau. And I'm like, what? What is wrong with you? Like, it's fun. You're Disney World.
No, that
I expect
would probably
to see
be
the Brady's.
List, right? Not gonna lie, I haven't been, but the luau is definitely not one of those experiences that I'm like, you know what? Next time I go down there, that's what I want to do. The luau. So, the luau. Granted, I can't right now anyway, but still, that's not like even if it came back tomorrow, I wouldn't be like, luau, let's go.
Luau was awesome. I'm just saying. And by the way, Natalie commented. She said, "I had no idea the fish was going to come to me like fully still intact." Yes. She says it was a little traumatic.
Yeah, that is a little traumatic. Actually, doesn't Skipper Canteen, don't they also have a fish that's intact? Or am I losing my mind on that?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so.
See. I'm just saying, you think it's traumatic for you ordering it. Think about how traumatic it is for that fish. That fish is like, I'm just hanging out in the tank. And all of a sudden, I'm like.
True.
Tastes like fish. Tastes like chicken. All right, last question of the day. We're losing it. Here we go.
We are.
This is an easy one. Kyla says, "Hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky, our family of five is headed to the world on Christmas Eve, and we'll spend Christmas Day in the parks. Where should we watch the Christmas Day parade?" Just kidding. I just added that in.
Oh, I'm
just
kidding. Like, oh, no.
I just added it in.
Like, no, 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 no.
I totally. It was true until I add that. So she says, "We're spending Christmas Day in the parks. We're DVC and booked just a few weeks ago. Due to limited hotel availability, we're staying 5 nights in 3 different resorts. The Riv, Bay Lake, and Boardwalk." Nice. You know, doesn't sound like a last minute trip. It just sounds like how Pam goes. Like this is just a normal. This is a Pam trip in like May. You know, it's not a big deal. She says, "My question: will Disney still move my bags from resort to resort for us? Love listening to the podcast. Thank you." Kyla is from Missouri. Go Cards! Yes.
Hey.
Sign Wayno and Yachty. Okay, go ahead, Pam. So yes, they're still moving bags. Correct.
They are still moving bags. The one thing I will say, though, is just for me and my family, even if we don't have a car, we will Uber with our bags from one resort to the next, because it's not like you roll up to Disney and drop your bags off and they're like, "Oh my gosh, let me get on this right now." I mean, it takes them a while. They might only travel to another resort like once a day. I mean, likely they probably do only do it once a day. So your bags could show up much later than you do. And when I take my bags over, I drop them off at Bell Services at my new hotel, and I know at least they're at my resort. They're not at some other resort, or they're not on a truck somewhere or whatnot. So that's what I do. Disney absolutely offers the service, and it is a great service. And if you are more patient than I am, then this service is going to work for you. But it just doesn't work for me, because I just want to have, like, when I get to my hotel, my new hotel, if the room's ready, I'm unpacking right now. Like, that is just me and what I need to do to make myself, you know, happy.
No, that's a Black Diamond tip. That's right. Because I do remember over one marathon weekend a couple years ago, I packed my running sneakers in one of my suitcases moving from Pop Century to Beach Club. And like those bags, like they never shown up. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we were going to bed like at 7:30 and they still weren't there. And I'm like, "Dude, those are my running sneakers. Like, I got to run 26 miles tomorrow, 13. I don't know what it was, but I was freaking out. I'm like, seriously, I'm like, where's the truck? I'll go after it. Like, you know, it's somewhere on property, right? I mean, I was losing my stuff. And I mean, it got there later that night, but you're right. I mean, if you have it in your possession, it's way better. You just want to know where it is.
It just makes me feel better.
Yes, it totally does. I hate not knowing that kind of stuff. Oh, Joanne says Wine Bar George also has a whole grouper. I mean, what's wrong with all these people ordering these fish that are like... I can't do it. I think I still have my big mouth billy bass in the storage
just
room.
Just so you know, Brian has not one, but two of the big mouth billy bass.
I still have one somewhere. I think it's in the storage room. I'll have to get it out.
There's one that were the original. Then there's one that is like a McDonald's one. I got nothing.
Give me back my Filet-O-Fish.
Yes,
Give me that fish.
I have that one. And I very much suspect that for Christmas this year, he is getting the duck that sings as well.
Really?
This is a thing in my house, and I want to burn them all. So, but it's between him and his dad, so I can't burn them all. So,
Missouri representing, that's all I got to say.
They sit outside in the garage, though. They are not in the house.
Okay, now, I wonder if Pam would notice if I found the big mouth billy bass and hung it up down here. We'll see. Anyway. That is going to do it for today's show. Quick announcement. This Sunday night, we have our live call-in shows, and we talked about this past Sunday night. This Sunday night is our big holiday tradition show where we're going to call in and talk about maybe a favorite gift from your childhood, maybe some special tradition you have with your family that you celebrated in years past, or maybe you still carry it on, maybe a favorite thing you guys like to eat, or some special memory you had the blizzard of 82 like we had here in the St. Louis area one year. Whatever you have. So we're going to kind of, if it's Disney related, that's great. If it's not, that's great too. But we're going to have our holiday tradition show this Sunday night on the Facebook and YouTube channel. So join us at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. And we'll be taking those and we'll put that out over the Christmas break because we have Christmas a week from now. It'll be Christmas Eve.
Oh my goodness.
Christmas
Day. It's crazy.
I'm saying it's nuts. So please do join us. I love that show. It's really my favorite. So please help us out and give us a call and share your holiday traditions. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. You want to support the show? Book your next trip with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. And I'll tell you, there are some still amazing deals for early 2021, January to April. If you want to stay at a deluxe right now, I mean, get in while the getting's good. I mean, there's still rooms available. You can stay at a deluxe resort like a yacht club or like a garden wing over at the Contemporary for rates that normally they're rivaling what a rack rate for a moderate resort is sometimes of the year. So if you really wanted to kind of maybe split it up and check it out, it's a great time to get down there. Also great deals on values if you just need to get away and the money's a little tight. Hey, we'll help you out either way. We'll get you down there and get some magic because we all need it. So check out all the details over at themagicforless.com. Great trip planning tools. Then fill out that quote form, mention the show, and we'll be planning it together. So check them out, themagicforless.com. Also, as you do your last minute, we're getting into the last minute period here. Last minute shopping over on Amazon. One extra click. Click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really helps support the show. Thank you so much for that. A huge shout out to our patrons. We appreciate you so very much. You're carrying the show here while travel is down just a bit. And Mike in the Midwest coming your way tomorrow on Thursday. If you'd like to get in on that, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And Facebook and YouTube, slam the bell, click the bell, subscribe, all that good stuff. And also subscribe on your favorite podcatcher because subscriptions are awesome because you get the show as soon as it comes out. You don't even have to think about it, right?
Nope. Just, no, boom, thinking.
Wake up, it's like a Christmas present four times a week.
Yes.
All the time. We're like, oh my God. I bet you people are just like, yeah, they put out another show? Like, yeah, we did. I know.
We sure did.
Because some shows, it's like, oh, whoa, I haven't seen that show in like 3 weeks. Yay. Like, I got one of my favorite podcasts earlier this week, and I was like, I haven't seen that show in 6 months. I was like, yeah. We don't do that. We have so many shows. Like, you get it all the time. We're regular. Yeah. We're like Delcalax. We're regular.
Oh, my God. No.
I should have said that.
Wow.
Well, I watch a lot of Pluto TV on Love Boat. I mean, you can tell what the demographic is there on the commercials.
Don't make any more taglines for it. Please.
I think I got to sign up for Medicare. The open enrollment period is ending. That is every commercial on the shows I watch. It's always Joe Namath.
Yeah, apparently. That makes sense. Also, just so you know, I'm not making that shirt. So Be Our Guest Podcast.
We're regular like Delcalax.
No. Not happening.
Anyway.
That's not happening. So, okay.
Enjoy your breakfast. And we're going to get out of here. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. We'll talk to you again soon. Stay safe, stay healthy, and regular. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.